News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Should religious ethos govern our National Maternity Hospital? That is a question that I think a lot of people would like an answer to. And for more on what is happening currently with the National Maternity Hospital, I am joined by Noeleen Blackwell, the CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Noeleen, deep concerns, and you and I sat in meetings several years ago about these deep concerns about the National Maternity Hospital. We were told at the time there was nothing to worry about, that the Sisters of Charity were going to gift the hospital to the people. That has not happened. Tell us where we're at now and why you are worried.
Well, Ciara, I'd love to be able to come on and say I'm going to explain it all to you now, but actually the problem is that I cannot, because it is still very murky and grey. As far as we know, the Sisters of Charity have given the land for the proposed maternity hospital to a private company. That private company seems to have as shareholders the Sisters of Charity, and to have adherence to the ethos of the founder of the Sisters of Charity, Mary Aikenhead. Now, the problem with that for us, and certainly when I just look at this in terms of people trying to access maternity rights services, reproductive rights services, sterilization, abortion, IVF, even contraception. And I look at them and they're looking at going to a venue where the ownership of the institution is with a Catholic ethos. And I just look at it and think, for all the women, but the people in general, because there will be men's rights engaged in this as well, but principally for women's rights, for women's health, having to face into perhaps getting a service, but feeling that it will be delivered on terms of owners with the Catholic ethos, makes me wonder about whether women can trust that they will get a non-judgmental, fair, rights-based service, that they will be able to access things in the context of a country where we have, where we still have that sense, and where women will very often have the sense that even though it is their right, it is something that they have to explain, that they will be judged on. And that's the problem with building a hospital which is owned by a company with a Catholic ethos. It's just, how can women be assured, all people actually, because it really is...
Gender reassignment surgeries and those types of things, and they affect both men and women, obviously. But other things like IVF, which would be fairly routine, contraception, which is entirely routine, sterilisation, abortion. There's lots of things that that would... by right take place in the National Maternity Hospitals, but that's called into question. Just the reason I was asking you about explain why this has happened is we were told that it was going to be gifted to the people. It has not been gifted to the state. It has been gifted to the St Vincent's Hospital Group, which is a different entity altogether. That would give you concern about, you know, you said it's very difficult to trust, but something has changed. Something different to what we were told was going to happen has happened. And that would give you pause for thought.
Yeah, and in a sense, over the years as well, we are now into the fourth or fifth year of hearing assurances, of hearing this will happen, of hearing it will be all right on the night. But the reality is that we have a complex legal corporate situation building up. We have assurances from government that there will be clinical independence, that there will be operational independence, financial independence. But again, in such, why did it have to become so complicated? I just cannot understand why it is the case that if it is that simple, that we're not seeing the clear steps, that we are depending on as yet unwritten leases, which will have terms and conditions in them, where the owner is this company with the Catholic ethos, where the state is assuring us daily, more or less, that all services will be available. But it's the terms on which they'll be available that resonates with us, resonates with me in the Rape Crisis Centre, where I hear so regularly from people who are entitled to services, who need services, but who feel that they are being shamed when they avail of them, who feel that they are doubtful as to whether they can access them because they will be blamed or felt made to feel in some way irresponsible. So that should not be the case in relation to health services that are available as of right in this country. So the assurances that we've got have changed so much and depend on who you're talking to, that it is actually it's useful and helpful to see that it is now top of the agenda again, because for so often this has been a concern and then it has fallen away.
No, absolutely.
It's great to see there's still continued interest in it.
Thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Nolene Blackwell, CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. I suppose, Mark, even from a purely fiscal point of view, the fact that the state is building it, is investing in it, is paying for the running of it, the fact that we're not going to own it and we're only going to have some kind
of
a lease.
It's bad business, isn't it?
It's bad business as much as anything to do with ethos.